start. Turn to Exodus chapter 35. If you're small enough, you can turn over in your Bible to Exodus chapter 35. Not everybody got that, did they? Or was even listening, not even listening. I think I probably used to say that, turn over in your Bible, and I think it was Earl or somebody said, you know, you're too big to turn over in your Bible. Exodus chapter 35. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but let me just point out, look at it. Verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Then it says, whosoever is of a, what? A willing heart.
Yes, sir.
Remember, this is mentioned about this, the wheel here, mentioned five times. Verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up. You see that? Whose heart stirred them up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. That's the same group of people.
Yes, sir.
And then also, what is it, verse 22? And they came, both men and women, and as many as were what? Willing-hearted.
Yes, sir.
And then go on to, what is it, verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, and then it's qualified. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing. So last week I read the whole text, this whole chapter 35 and a part of 36. And this chapter is actually, it is in the affirmative.
Yes.
It is of the affirmative of God's power over our willingness. And I put it that way, that's the title of the message, is God's power over our willingness, not God's power over human willingness, though that exists as well.
Yes, sir.
But we're not talking here about mere human willingness, and that I hope to deal with in detail later. You see, just as God does not use the heart of the flesh to turn it toward Christ, he gives a new heart. He gives a new spirit. Okay? We turn to Christ. He also gives a new will. God does not take the fallen will of man and then turn it to Christ. Okay? We'll look at that later. But one precedent is set here from this chapter. Willingness extends from within the person.
Amen.
It comes from the heart and the spirit.
Yeah.
The will does not exist. The will has no power to choose apart from what the heart and spirit desires.
Amen.
In other words, the will is not free.
Exactly.
Okay?
That's it.
It says whose what? Whose heart made them willing.
Amen.
Now this is a positive text. That is, this text does not teach human depravity directly. Indirectly, it implicates human depravity.
Yes, sir.
But this text actually teaches God's power over our willingness.
Amen.
And I haven't even dealt with the actual text yet, and I don't plan on it yet. But last time, I gave a message against free will. And let me just say this, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time. There will be statements I'll make against free will, because free will is a lie. Right here in this chapter is clear. Your will is not free from your heart and your spirit.
Exactly.
Your will, or you can only will, you can only make choices or decisions that are within the realm of your heart and your spirit. You can't go outside that. For instance, I cannot just choose to fly.
No. That's true.
Can't do it. Now, I can get in a plane. I can get in something that is without myself, something that is beyond myself, and I can fly. But, Joe, I can't just choose to fly.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's not within my power to do so. Now, as I said, I gave a message against free will. If you actually want to study the error of free will and the truth of God's free sovereign grace, get Martin Luther's book, The Bondage of the Will.
Yep.
Some of it's a little tough to read, but it is not beyond the scope of even normal reading. It's simply it's actually Martin Luther's diatribe against some other guy who was teaching free will.
Exactly.
And it's a very big book, but is a very thorough book. And I would encourage you to get it and to read that. You see, free will is not some new doctrine.
No.
It's not some new doctrine. It's not something that modern day religion has come up with. It's something that man has tried to purport from the get-go. That's basically what Satan was, a part of the lie of Satan was to Eve, is you can be free.
Exactly.
Because you can be what? Like God.
Exactly.
Like God. God is the only person who is truly free.
Yes.
But I don't plan on simply preaching against free will this morning. I'm just reviewing. But also, I stated that the fact that in Adam, we fail completely.
Yes.
Okay? That is, every part of us, our heart, our spirit, our mind, and our will, all fail in Adam. And let's turn back to it, because I kind of run out of time. Ephesians chapter 2. And I just want to highlight a couple things once again. Where Paul is talking to believers about the time before they became believers. Or let me put it another way. God is talking to people who have been regenerated about the time before they were regenerated. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened. It's okay to have that there. It doesn't hurt anything. But it's not actually in the received text. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now notice, the deadness here is not a lack of existence. It is an inability, because we are dead in trespasses and in sins. We are very active toward trespasses and sins.
Right. Exactly.
As the scripture says, man drinks up iniquity like water.
Yeah.
So our deadness is not an inability to do sin and trespass. But it is an inability to do anything that actually pleases God.
Amen.
That's the inability.
Yes,
and you hath it quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past. That's what he's talking about, before you were regenerated. Okay? Before you were even converted. Wherein in time past ye walked. How? According to the course of this world. Let me simply say, that means that everybody, as we are born, is on that same path.
Yes, sir.
Without going into the detail, that every one of us, as we were born in Adam, are on the same path. It's a path of rebellion against God.
Yes, sir.
Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were under demonic influence. Okay? Now, yes, there have been individuals, and probably still are today, that are under demonic possession.
Yeah.
But all men by nature are under demonic influence.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it? 1 Timothy, Paul says that to Timothy. Yeah. Taken captive of him at his will. Right?
That's it.
So, we've got two strikes against us. We all were walking the same way. And that's how? Dead in trespasses and in sins. Here's the next strike against us. We were walking how? That's, the walking is the same. Where in time past you walked how? Here's different ways the different avenues in which we walked. How? According to the course of this world. Secondly, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were under satanic influence. But that's not the only problem.
Yeah.
Look, the spirit. Now that's not a capital spirit. That's not demonic spirit. That is our spirit. Because James, in what is it? I got it wrote down here somewhere. James chapter 4 and verse 5, where he is actually quoting from the Old Testament. It says, don't you know that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?
Yeah. Yes.
You see, the spirit fell with everything else Adam was. When Adam sinned, everything fell. His heart fell. His spirit fell. His mind fell. And since the will is determined by the heart and the spirit, the will fail as well.
Yes, sir.
And actually, Paul goes on to say that. What? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that is, our way of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
That's all we were. The condemnation of God is that we would fall into what? Flesh. The spiritual part is gone now. It doesn't mean we don't have a spirit. It's a fallen spirit. That's what it is. And what else? Among whom also we all had our conversation, that is, in our way of life in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling, that is, going to the max, grasping everything we could of it. Now, some of us grasped after different things. You know, some of us may, just as an illustration, some of us may have been bent toward drunkenness. Some of us may have been bent toward theft. Some of us may have been bent toward religion. But still yet, we were fulfilling what? The lusts of the flesh. Walking, our way of life in time passes in the lust of the flesh, then we were what? Fulfilling what? The choices, that's the word. The desire, the wills, that's what it has even in my center reference. Wheels of what? The flesh. Yeah. The wheel here, the desire, the choices, the volition. It's all of the same genre there. It's all of the same thing. Is what? Called what? Yeah. Of the flesh.
Yes.
And I mentioned this last Sunday. And why? Because it is, and I'm going to deal with precedents this morning, because it is a precedent. That is a preceding thing. A thing that must be established and must be held to if anything else is to be right. It's a precedent. If you go wrong on the precedent, you're going to be wrong on everything else.
Exactly.
The precedent is this. That which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
Period. That's all it can ever be. And here, flesh is taken as low as it can go.
Exactly.
It's dead toward God.
Amen.
Alive toward rebellion, but dead toward God. And that includes, here it actually says, the spirit and the will, or the desires. Now the heart is not mentioned, but the heart's there, because spirit and heart go together. They go together. That's why it's actually mentioned, Joe. It's almost as though these are, you could transpose either one over in Exodus chapter 35, whose spirit made willing, or it says whose heart made willing, right?
Yeah.
It's actually the same whole concept. But the point is this, in Adam we fail completely.
Exactly.
That's why we teach a part of that acronym, total depravity.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Total depravity. That doesn't mean we've all committed every sin as some outward overt act, but we're all capable of all overt outward acts.
Yes, sir.
Even if we haven't done one or not. And the truth is, we're lawbreakers in heart, spirit, and will. Now, as I said, I'm not going to try to prove that free will is a lie. The scriptures replete with evidence that man's will is not free.
Exactly.
You see, I have said it before, so I'm certainly not trying to be hypercritical, because if I said it, it can't be all bad, can it? See, I'm being silly now. I said it as well, that Adam was the only man who ever had a free will. Adam was not free. He's a creature. A creature is not free.
Exactly.
If you have a creator, you are under the authority of that creator.
Yes, sir.
And one thing Adam wasn't free to do, what was that? Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, if he'd have been free, he could eat of whatever he wanted.
That's right?
Right? You see, even in that aspect, there was no freedom.
Exactly.
Adam was free to eat of every other tree.
Yep.
Was he not? Yes, but he was not free to eat of that. So this idea of freedom, I don't want to get too far ahead, but there is an aspect of free that applies to total depravity.
Yeah.
And we'll look at that later. There's one aspect. And we'll look at that, just to heighten your curiosity. You ought to already know what that is. And when I say it, you'll say, oh, yeah, that's clear. I knew that. But you may not be dawning on you right now. You see, our fall was so complete. We are so corrupt. And I'm reviewing Isaiah 64. It is recorded in verse 6 and 7 that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. That's our best efforts. In God's sight, they're filthy rags. Now, it doesn't matter what we think about them. God says they're filthy rags in His sight.
Amen.
That settles it, you see.
Yeah.
That settles it. Even so much so, and I quoted this, Luke chapter 16, verse 15, our Lord said this, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in God's sight.
Amen.
that just puts my face in the dust.
Yeah.
You know that? Well, everything I am by nature is corrupt. Even my best choices, Joe, are what?
Yeah.
Abomination in God's sight and filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen. That's it.
So, I will say this for the sake of our, even if you had a free will, it wouldn't do you any good.
Exactly.
But you ain't got one.
Exactly.
If you were true, if your will was truly free, you could just, you could choose to be a snake right now. Oh, that's right, you are one.
That's it.
Never mind, strike that, you are a snake. Matter of fact, God calls us worms.
Exactly.
Well, now you know what I'm saying. We're not free. So let me just stop with that, though I'll continue to mention against free will, because it is the lie of the devil.
Yes, sir.
But let's look at some of the truths from Scripture concerning, and I'm going to use the phrase for now, man's will. Okay? Choices men make. Man's decision. One, I've already stated this, and it's clear from the replete evidence of Scripture, man has a will. Okay? When we talk about total depravity, total inability, we're not saying man doesn't have a will.
No.
We're accused of that. Well, you're saying man has no choice. Oh, man has a choice. The problem is he always makes the wrong one.
Amen.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Yeah. Man has a will, but it's totally corrupt. We always will to do the wrong thing.
Exactly.
But I'm going to show you some examples, see. Most of the time, when I said that, you're probably thinking, well, using drugs. Like marijuana, cocaine, or getting drunk, or having sex outside of marriage. No, it may have to do with religion.
Yes, sir.
It may even having to do with a sincere attempt to honor God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But if it's of the flesh, it's corrupt, and it's condemned of God.
Exactly.
That's the whole problem, and our will is included in that. Man has a will. But think about it. Let me go back. The heart and the spirit determine the direction of the will.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's the precedent set in Exodus chapter 35. Now, granted, it's in the positive, right? It's talking about a will that's being moved by God, because it actually goes on to say God made their heart willing, right?
Yeah.
God's the one that gave them this heart and spirit to be willing, right? But the opposite, Joe, flip side of that is our hearts and spirits make us willing outside of Christ. But all we ever do is choose to do the wrong thing. That's all you can do. You can only operate within the realm of your heart and spirit. And remember, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth the what? Envy. And our heart is what? Desperately wicked above all things. We really don't know the depth of it. We've only been given a taste of how bad we really are.
You're right.
And every once in a while, God will remind you how bad you really are. You know?
That's it.
And that includes my heart and my spirit and my will, because my will is determined by my heart and spirit. You see, let me say it again. The heart and the spirit determine the direction of the will. God must determine both of those things.
Yes, sir.
The heart and the spirit. Think about it. God must determine both. Negatively, he determined the heart and the spirit would choose the wrong things in the fall. That's where we plunged. That was the condemnation, was not to hell. It was to depravity.
Yes, sir.
We were condemned to be depraved. We were condemned to be just like Adam when he failed.
Yes.
That's the way we're born.
Exactly.
We come forth speaking lies as soon as we be born.
Amen.
The same person I mentioned to you before that called me on the lamb statement, he said, and the statement he made was, well, you know babies don't talk. Let me tell you something. When you face Scripture like that, you're simply trying to prove your own point.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not bowing to the truth of God's Word.
Exactly.
We come forth speaking lies as soon as we be born. God said so. That's the way God sees it, whether I see it or not.
Exactly. That's it. That's
That's the problem. The problem is not how I look in your sight or you look in my sight. There are some people I like better than others. You know, I'm going to give you something. Somebody said, well, so-and-so don't like black people. I don't either. And I don't like white people.
Exactly.
And I don't like yellow people. And I don't like green people. I generally just don't like people.
Exactly.
And that's a fact. We were asked one time in a class, how many here is prejudiced? There was a couple of us that raised our hands.
Yeah.
We all are.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of the fall.
Exactly.
There's one thing we're not prejudiced about, that's ourselves. We like ourselves pretty well. Until God gives you sight, and that's the only time when you'll truly begin to start hating yourself.
Exactly.
You might hate that you got caught.
Oh, yeah.
You might hate that you look so stupid in front of your peers.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to really know what you are until God opens your heart and your spirit. Well, that's true. But he's got to even give you the heart and the spirit to see it with.
Exactly.
So again, man does have a will. But God determined. The heart. What is the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. He turneth it whithersoever he will.
Amen.
Right? Now if the sense, not if. Since the heart and the spirit determine the will, then is the will free?
Exactly.
No. It must act within the cord of the heart and the spirit.
Amen.
That's right.
But remember, God's the one that, and in positively, God determines the heart and the spirit in a positive way by grace.
Yes, sir.
By giving a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. Isn't that what our Lord said?
Yes, sir.
That lets me know two things. One, the old one is real, but it don't do you any good.
Exactly.
You got to have a new one.
Yes.
And that's both heart and spirit. Why? Why did he say a new will I put within you? Because that's going to come if you've got a right heart and a right spirit. And just to jump ahead, remember, Paul didn't say, for it is God that works on your will. He said, it is God that works in you both to will. He's got to give us a different will. Because the will of the flesh is what? Corrupt.
Exactly.
And it's still corrupt. I still make the wrong choices today.
Oh, yeah.
If I make those choices in the flesh. In the flesh. So again, number one, this is the truth. These are the precedents. Number one, man does have a will, but his will is corrupt. Why? Because God said so.
Exactly.
Man does make choices. And here I'm not talking about you chose between Fruityos and Raisin Bran or whatever this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. But let me tell you what this. If you had two kinds of cereal in your cupboard this morning and you chose one over the other, I'm here to say God Almighty determined which one you's going to choose.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see that according to Scripture. But we're talking about things of a higher order than that.
Yes, sir.
Of a higher order than that. But I'm saying God controls even that. Secondly, God does put before men even opposing options. Opposing options now. Not just two boxes of cereal, both equally desirable and you can choose one over the other. I'm talking about totally opposing options. You remember, what is it, 1 Kings? Turn to it, 1 Kings 18, and it's actually just one verse there, especially for the sake of time, and I've got to move along. Or maybe I just need to slow down and just end where I end. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. You're probably familiar. As a matter of fact, we heard this preached not too long ago, a few months ago, from this passage. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions?
Exactly.
If the Lord be God, follow him.
Yeah.
But if Baal, then follow him. There, Joe, is men and women being given two options, right? And being told you're halting between the two. It's like you're bouncing back and forth. Now, there are those who get philosophical. Well, since God said to choose between the two, then you evidently must have the power to choose between the two. It don't say that. It don't say because you got the power. It says if God be God, serve him. So then you ain't got no choice if you're going to make the right one, because God is God.
Amen.
Right? If Baal be God, serve him. Well, that is no choice.
Yeah.
But you know what? People choose it all the time.
That's exactly right.
And people will always choose it unless God Almighty gives them grace.
Yes.
To choose the Lord. You see, what we call two options, one is not even really a valid option, is it? Because Baal ain't God.
Exactly.
You see, that's why people try to get philosophical. They try to get rationalize the Bible. That's where Martin Luther is good at putting whatever his name was, Erasmus, or putting him in his place. And Martin Luther, you think Walter Pendleton's tough at times? Read Martin Luther's book. That man was rough. I wish I could be that rough. I'm just so meek and mild. Choose. You remember Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15? I won't turn to it. Choose ye this day who you will serve.
Yeah.
You know that. That is God putting before men opposing options, right? And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because that, in effect, is the only true option.
Exactly.
But the problem is, in the flesh, we always choose the wrong one.
Yes.
We'll always worship Baal. We'll always worship the God of our fathers while we were back there in the Ur of the Chaldees. Let me tell you, in my flesh, I'd go right back to religion. That's where I'd go. That's where the flesh longs to be today. Why are you here? I could have been in a place with 200 or 300 people getting a salary, preaching for a living rather than being stuck here. Right? Boy, what a choice that was. And let me tell you something. You think that laid in my power? You think that was some greatness inside of Walter Pendleton? I've been told you before, everything about me was opposed to that. I didn't even want to be a pastor. I wanted to be an evangelist, a revival preacher. And I wouldn't have told you that then, but I can tell you that now, I didn't want to deal with you all on a daily basis. I wanted to be able to come in for a week, preach God's word, get paid for it, and leave.
There you go.
And that's the truth. I can say that now. I'm not bragging. I'm ashamed of that. But that's what I was by nature. And let me tell you, that's still what I am. Don't you think there ain't times when I've told some of Washoe would love to teach in a Bible college. But I'd hate every minute of it if I was. Unless it was one that was established on the truth of God and the students who were there really wanted to know the truth of God. But you know what? God didn't ordain for it to be that way.
Exactly.
Did he? No. God does put before men even opposing options. 1 Chronicles 21. Turn to that one. 1 Chronicles 21. Now, I'm not giving you these just because they're better than any other reference. There are hundreds of references of choices, you know what I'm saying, and options, and things are viable and things are not viable, but men choosing the thing that's not viable. There are all kinds of, I'm just picking out a few here and there. Now, what about 1 Chronicles 21? Let me get to it here. I hope I'm right. 1 Chronicles 21, let's see if I've got it right there. It doesn't look like I'm in the right place. Oh, yeah, it is. Now, I'm not going to read it. But you're there if you want to look through. Remember, here we have David has made a choice and got himself in trouble.
Yeah.
Didn't he? He made a choice. What did he choose to do? He chose to number the people of God. And God says, "All right, you made your choice. Now I'm going to give you three." Didn't he?
Yeah.
Give you three. Verse 11, "So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, choose thee." We're not against the command to choose, are we? We tell people they ought to do that all the time.
Yep.
When we're told we don't, you don't believe in choice. Yeah, I just believe we make the wrong ones, apart from saving grace.
Exactly.
Choose thee, either choose 3 years' famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before your foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord. And what did David say? Put me in the hands of God. Why? Because he's full of mercy.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Now, all three of these things were controlled by God.
Yes,
were they
sir.
Not? His mercy's sovereign. He's sovereign over David's enemies, and he's sovereign over the fruit of the field.
Yes, sir.
Right? All three of these were possible options, but there was a best one. To be in the hands of God, personally. Because David says, And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. Now, did David know for sure that that's what God would do? God hadn't told him anything, did he? Just choose. Here's your three options. But David is counting on what? The faithfulness of God to his covenant promise.
Amen.
That's what it is. Look at it. But let me not fall into the hand of men. Oh, is not even the hand of men in the sovereign hand of God?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. So even right here we can see, was any choice that David could have made, would it in any way have ever frustrated the sovereign purpose of God? It couldn't, because God controls the enemies and the fields as well as his own mercy. Doesn't he? But yet the options were presented, weren't they? Now, so again, man does have a will. Secondly, God does put before men even opposing options. And the third thing is quite clear. Man makes choices all the time.
Yes, sir.
Man makes choices all the time. Every day we get up, we make one choice after another, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a sense in which I can say this. What we have is the illusion of choice.
Yeah.
That is, there are different options presented, but you're going to take one or the other. Because one, just for the sake of argument, without going into God already knows what the future is. Therefore, God knows what you're going to choose. Therefore, it's already certain what's going to happen.
Yep.
Right? Even by that standard.
Yeah.
But the scripture goes even further. It's not just God knows. God purposed which choice you would make.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He purposed which one you would make. But the point is still clear from scripture. If God knows everything, and he does, then that everything must be absolutely certain. So what we have is the illusion of choice to us. Because there's something we're going to do, we just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
And that has to do with every aspect of life. That has to do with that box of cereal, or who you marry, or who you cuss out this week. It has to do with all falling in the sovereign purpose of God. Why? Because there are three precedents even here under this third one. Man's choices never frustrate God's purposes.
Amen.
Never. I don't care what choice you make out of a list of choices, you never frustrate God's purpose.
Amen.
Now let's just look at what the Bible says about it. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs is a grand book. They're all grand, I understand that. But Proverbs is just chock full of truth.
Yeah.
And some of us, you don't get it until all of a sudden it dawns. You know, God opens your heart and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 19, verse 21, is that it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are many devices in a man's heart.
Yes, sir.
Remember, the heart controls the will. That is, the will can only act within the parameters of the heart. Okay? But there are many devices in a man's heart. There are a lot of things that we would do.
Oh, yeah.
We would have. We would lay hold of. A lot of choices we would make. And we make choices all the time. But what does it say? Nevertheless.
Yes.
That's a good word for us in the English, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So whatever choice you do make, you ain't frustrated God's purpose.
Exactly.
And whatever choice I make, I have not frustrated God's purpose. Now somebody says, well, that makes every choice I make right. No, it don't. That's that more philosophizing there they're trying to do. You know? That rationalizing the truth of God by some human mind, by the petty little puny finite human mind. But there's the precedent. Man's choices never frustrate God's purpose.
Yeah,
look at it. Here's at least I want two examples, two actual witnesses to this. Isaiah. Now that was Solomon's witness to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Isaiah. Look at it, chapter 14. It's right after 13, ain't it? 14. See, I'm always afeared that when I get here, I'm going to have to put down the wrong thing and then can't remember where it's at when I ain't got it there. Isaiah 14, where we at? Verse 26. Look at what it says. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Now, was there any place on earth that this don't count?
Exactly.
No. No. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed it, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? The answer is rhetorical. No one. No one. In other words, God does act toward men's choices, but God never reacts because of man's choices.
Amen.
That's the best way I can say. There probably is a better way to state it than even that. But that's the best in my vocabulary that I can come up with. This is what the scripture teaches. Here's the precedent. God does act toward men's. David made a choice to number the people. God acted toward David, didn't he?
Yes,
and he gave him three options, didn't he?
Yes,
now we know which option David was going to choose. The one God purposed for him to choose. Because
yeah.
His choice wasn't going to frustrate God's purpose, was it? Ah, but here's the truth. Here's the truth. God never reacts to our choices. God is not reactionary. He is not reactionary. Secondly, and I need to, time's almost, let me give you these other two precedents. And then we'll actually look at some of the choices people have made, different things. Secondly, even choices of chance. Now you know this, I preached on this, it's been preached on here. This is nothing new here. Even choices of chance. You know what I mean by that? I mean, just like the scripture says, they don't use these, but it's the same thing. It's the equivalent. I take a pair of dice in my hand, or one, a die, is that what you call it? Or I take dice, and I roll those dice. Those dice are going to come up on exactly what God Almighty ordained before for them to come up on. Because the scripture says this. Here's the precedent. Even choices of chance are determined by God. Proverbs 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap. And they actually would, when they would roll, they were using a lot. Something that when they threw it down, it pointed to a certain thing or person or whatever. That was the choice that come up on. And they would cast it where? In their lap. But what does Proverbs say? What does Solomon say? The lot is cast into the lap.
Yeah.
But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord.
Amen.
Now I watched a thing on TV one time about games of chance. And they spoke specifically of dice. And it matters how you pick those dice up and how you turn them in your hand. Determines how they're going to fall the next time. You understand? I mean, if you hadn't turned this one over, Joe, it would have never landed on the number that was. It would have landed on another number. But see, the whole disposing thereof is of the where they fail the last time. It's where God determined for them to fall. Who picks them up? What they do with them in their hand. You know, you see people blowing on them, twisting them, turning them. Every part of that action, the whole disposing thereof is what? Of the Lord. So that when that person rolls those dice, it comes up exactly the numbers God Almighty ordained for them to come up on. And that's why the disciples rolled dice to pick Matthias. It says they cast their lot, and the lot fell on Matthias. Why did they cast lots? Because they knew the lot is cast into the lap, but it's going to point out who God wants it to point out. Well, that sounds like fatalism. No, that's God Almighty. That ain't fatalism. That's God Almighty. He's sovereign. That's what we're talking about. It's what the Bible means when it talks about God's sovereignty. Thirdly, here's the third precedent. God determines the end, not human will.
Amen.
That's what it all boils down to. This is why most people hold to free will, because they don't want God to determine the end. They want to think that somehow their choice determines the end. And it don't. One passage, then an example. Daniel 4, verses 34 and 35. You know these. That God doeth according to his will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And he goes on even further. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?
Amen.
God, those that are proud, he's able to abase. You know, the wrath, even the wrath of men shall praise him. The rest of wrath, what men would have done had God let it go on. Notice he didn't even let it go on. But the rest of wrath, he will what? Restrain. If it's not in accord with his purpose, it ain't going to happen. If it did happen, it was his purpose.
Yes, sir.
Well, that evidently makes it all right. No, it don't make it all right. Here's the example of it. You remember when those brothers of Joseph cast him into that pit? And everything that transpired, for time's sake, everything that transpired, what did Joseph say to his brothers once all this stuff come to a head? He said, "You did it to me. You meant evil toward me." They were going, a couple of them were going to kill that boy. Or the majority of them, and I think one or two spoke up, wouldn't it? Kept it from happening. Boy, that was a lucky chance, wasn't it? No, that was God's purpose. Why? Because he said, "You meant it to me for evil." But he said, here was Joseph's words, God meant it. He didn't just turn it around for good. He meant it for good. Let me tell you, though, that didn't justify those boys' actions. That was a hateful, wicked, despicable act. And there is never any justification for it. Yet the very same evil choice that they meant for evil, God meant for good.
Yes.
Now, swallow on that one for a while. Because that's the truth of the Word of God.
Yes.
That's not Walter putting his ideas in it. That's what it says, doesn't it? So, remember that. Man's choices never frustrate God's purpose. Even choices of chance are determined by God. And thirdly, God determines the end, not human will.
Exactly.
And God willing, we'll have to pick up from there next time. Father, as we go our separate ways, may our hearts and minds be stayed on thy truth, but especially, as it all ultimately does, is it points to Jesus Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen.